Welcome in. It's Wednesday live chat for this week's Shriners Children's Open. It is nice to be back. Thanks for bearing with me. Last week, there was not a Sanderson Farms live chat. There was not a Sanderson Farms DFS preview. First time in 7 years. I missed an event coming back from the Ryder Cup. So appreciate the patience there, but no rest for the weary, right? Vegas. Backyard. I was at the golf course this morning. I'll be out there each day this week. If I see you out there, you see me out there, say hello. Let's watch a little bit of golf together. So hopefully over the course of the next however long this takes, we can go through as many questions, concerns, or comments that you have about the golf course, the players in the field, et cetera, et cetera. Let's get after it. Big Colts fan says, hey, Rick, hope you're enjoying staying home for a golf tournament for a change. I am. Wondering if you could do a deep dive on Chad Ramey. Sure. Chad Ramey, to me, falls into the category of guys like Kelly Kraft, Troy Merritt, who are off to a really strong start. And we have to figure out whether this is fool's gold, whether they found something, whether this is a result of the weaker fields that we're getting in the fall, all of those things. This is my website, rickrungood.com. Everything you see will be from my website, giant database for fantasy golf and golf betting. Go check it out. Ramey has a T19 in Napa, T16 at the Sanderson Farms. The way he's doing it is pretty solid, right? You know, gaining the ball striking categories. He was phenomenal in Jackson, but it's not super out of character for him. Yes, obviously gaining 7 strokes from tee to green in Jackson is probably not going to happen again, but he routinely is better than the field from tee to green. So that's not anything crazy. Then he even lost a stroke and a half with the putter in Jackson and still finished T16. And he is usually a pretty positive putter. You look at his history around Shriners, T14, T28, you put it all together. And I think Chad Ramey's actually a pretty decent option for this week. How'd Justin Suh look out there? Vegas ties and he's finally hitting his irons. Yeah. So I didn't see Justin Suh out there today, but I've seen him out at TPC Summerlin quite a bit. I think he has one of the more interesting stat profiles because he is a phenomenal putter who did not putt well in Napa and still finished T30. So if we are able to marry the approach play and the ball striking that he had at the Omega Masters and the putter that we normally see out of him, also on a golf course that he's very familiar on and has finished, I think 8th is his best finish. Yeah, T8 and a missed cut in his 2 years. All good signs there. I think putting is going to be important this week. I love the way he's striking it. Also, shameless plug here, I have the European Tour strokes gain data, so you're getting a complete picture for guys who have been playing over there the last couple of weeks. Any insight on Taylor Montgomery? Yeah, so there's a lot of good Vegas players in the field who play out here quite a bit. I know what Brian is talking about. So Taylor Montgomery, I think, posted on Instagram that he was with Butch Harmon getting lessons recently, or maybe Butch Harmon posted it. I can't remember. I'm going to need to see a little bit. I'm going to need to see it, right? You know, the cliff that Taylor Montgomery has fallen off from the ball striking categories is one thing. He's been horrendous. Multiple strokes ball striking to the negative basically every event since the Players, which was in March. The other problem is for a while, he was kind of able to outputt a really sour tee to green play. He's not doing that anymore either. So I'm going to need to see. I know it's a good spot for him. I know it's a place he's probably very, very familiar with. I'm going to need to see something. In a single entry GPP, what are your thoughts on starting with Poston or someone in the 9K range? Yeah, so Poston right now, I have the projected ownership on JT Poston at about 10.7%, which is the lowest of the guys in the 10K range, which is probably too low. Is Ludvig 3 times as likely to win this golf tournament? Not 3 times, but he is more likely. But JT Poston has the skill set that you want around here. Approach play, putting. If he can keep it in play off the tee, he's going to be very, very good. I wish he's played recently, right? You know, we're getting him teeing up for the first time since the BMW Championship. I don't mind doing that. I think Poston's a pretty interesting play at that ownership. Starting the 9K range, I think, is a little more difficult. There might be a question later about who I've bet this week. I'm quite high on Nikolai Højgaard. If you wanted to start there, I think it would be a little bit of a riskier build because Højgaard's range of outcomes, I think, is wider, and you're also giving up the equity at the top in Ludvig, Tom Kim, etc. I'm okay to not be all that interested in Cam Davis, but I am I would understand the risk that I was taking on if I started with Nikolai or anybody else in the 9K range. What's going on with Jock Market? No more IPOs. That's the best part of their offerings. Okay. And then Jay says, sorry, I'm assuming golf markets will change soon like their football markets have. So yeah, so real quick on this. So Jock Market, if you're not aware of it, it's an awesome, they've been a great partner for years, and it's an awesome concept that they have where it's basically stock market DFS. And from the get-go, they've had two issues, two barriers that I've always thought were going to be tough for them to overcome. And I've told them, I have a great relationship with those guys. They know how I feel about this. From a business perspective, the first outcome, the first barrier that they have is that the quality of the actual game is dependent on how many people are participating. So for example, the more people who are in these markets, it creates more dynamic, more liquid markets. There are buys to, there are people selling for buyers. There are enough people buying for sellers. It matches up. Okay. The fewer people in these markets, the worse experience it is. That's not really the case for a lot of other businesses. It's not necessarily the case for a lot of other fantasy formats. If I play on DraftKings, yes, I might be playing against fewer people. The prizes might be smaller, but like the game itself doesn't change. Points are still allocated no matter how many people are playing. That is not necessarily like the actual format of the game and the logistics of it changes. They've done a very good job with that. Right, they've been able to continually grow and get these markets more liquid. They've done a really good job with that one. The second one is what you're referring to here, Jay, which is the IPO. And when you have what is basically the most important time of your market, the most important time of your game to your site, limited to just an hour, basically, before lock, it's incredibly difficult. You have to make sure people are available then, that they are paying attention for this 1 hour. And if they're not, you're kind of SOL. So what I think you're seeing in football and other sports is these all-day markets. Now, I actually they're getting closer. What I actually think they should do is they should do fixed price markets where these are the prices for shares. You can buy them or you can short them. That's it. They don't change. And the reason I think that is it would make content creation a lot easier. You know, I can't fire up a live chat. I mean, even the live chat right now, I couldn't even tell you what the price for some of these guys are going to be for Sanderson Farms tonight, right? So if I had a set price, I could. Now that then requires them to be very, very sharp on the pricing, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, they're working through it. I don't know what else to tell you. There's a lot of logistics to it. But check it out, Jock Market. I have a promo code if you want to be involved. It's a great game. Who do you like more, Svensson or Smalley? For me, it's Svensson. I didn't bet Svensson this week to win, though I did stare long and hard. You know, the profile that he started to put together by gaining multiple strokes on approach for four straight weeks and then finding the putter, and then he kind of just, you know, if you just start sliding these boxes around where he loses a stroke and a half on approach at in Jackson and still finishes T16 when that was pretty much the worst he's been in the last couple of months, I see there being a pathway for Adam Svensson to easily squeeze a little more juice out of this thing. So he's the one that I probably get more excited about. DraftKings still hasn't added Dylan Wood. Do you think they will? No, I don't think they will at this point. What I've noticed from them is they do one update, right? So they kind of get through Monday. So they get the Monday qualifiers, and then anybody else who withdrew and was replaced, those guys usually get added, you know, Tuesday morning. So the Monday qualifiers were added. And then it was after that that Dylan Wu got in because of, gosh, I cannot remember who withdrew, but somebody withdrew. Dylan Wu got in. He was the first alternate. I do not think he's going to be added to the field. They generally, once that passes, they don't do it anymore. How would you rank Thompson, Hubbard, Hostler? Probably Hubbard, Hostler, Thompson. Can you do a deep dive on JJ Spawn? Sure. Let's do a deep dive on JJ Spawn. Wow. JJ. This is pretty good. So he has been, we know JJ Spawn is not a long hitter, right? He is accurate, which is what I think you need around here. But despite that, he is still gaining strokes off the tee in every event dating back to Colonial. That's really good. Approach play, positive player there. Basically every event dating back to, my God, the Players Championship. Decent short game. That's all you want around here. It's going to be a matter of this. Can JJ Spaun make enough putts to get to 23 under par? He has not putted well as of late. Let's see if he's putted well at TPC Summerlin's. Maybe this is a place that jives with him. Okay, he has. He's gained like 13 strokes putting in his last 10 rounds here. The greens are a little bit different, but he played on them last year, gained 4.5 strokes. This is a pretty good call. I don't mind this, Daniel. Favorite salary saver this week. I'm just going to scroll right down to $6,900. Carson Young graded out very, very well for me. Harry Hall, this is like your once a year crack at Harry Hall until he starts getting on a little bit of a better trend. But an eighth and a 15th year, he's $6,700. There's also somebody at 64. Oh, Kelly Kraft. I mentioned him earlier. Kelly Kraft, 1% owned, two top 25s to start his season, $6,400, offers a lot of salary cap relief. Those are probably my three favorites. I'll kind of pivot that into this where Jacob says, can you give us your top three 6K sleepers? Well, I think I already mentioned two of them, Harry Hall, Carson Young, and I guess Kelly Kraft. But if you want someone who I think, you know, has the upside to win the golf tournament, I don't want to say Eric Van Rooyen. Let's do it this way. Let's go to the power rankings, strokes gain distribution, sort by how often a golfer gains five or more strokes to the field. And I mean, Harry Hall is the best of that, of guys in the 6K range. Yuxin Lin, now he has fewer rounds, only 30 of them, also in there. Just trying to find Tim Whiting. I need to do a little research on Tim Whiting here because I keep scrolling on his name. He must be playing on the Korn Ferry. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, this dates back pretty far for him. Had a couple of decent Korn, it's a standard Korn Ferry profile. A lot of miscuts, a lot of decent finishes. Okay. I just want to see what he was up to. Sorry. Got a little distracted there. On the custom model, if you put weight on the course history, are new players at the course penalized? They're not necessarily penalized. They are just not rewarded, right? You don't necessarily catch a penalty because you haven't played here, but you just are not impacted in that part of the calculation. So it would be much more reliant on the other parts of the calculation, the other weights that you put in. Hey Rick, how do you read the line graph on the top of the golfer profile page? This is a running tab, a running total of strokes gained total over the golfer's last 100 rounds from left to right. So let me find you a couple of decent examples here. Let's look at Tom Kim. That might be a decent example. Tom Hoagie's probably a good one too. So last 100 rounds up and to the right, good sign for Tom Kim, right? So in the last 100 rounds, he's gained 97 total strokes, and you'll see there are ups and downs, yada yada yada. If you go for Tom Hoagie, his is much more volatile. He played great for the first 30 rounds, then he really struggled probably the next 30, and now you're seeing him back on an upward trend. So it's kind of just an easy visualization to see kind of where these guys are at in their game. You know, you look at Adam Schenck, basically up and to the right, although he's been pretty average over the course of his last 15 or 20 rounds or so. Here's Svensson, you know, a dip here coming back up. So just a visual representation. How's the betting card looking? Okay. So I've actually made a lot of bets this week. I only have two outrights, but I've made a lot of, top fives, top tens, matchups, just, you know, great to be back in Vegas. So I only have two outrights. And again, I will tell you, do not bet these for me, bet for you, right? You don't log into my account. I don't log into yours. Tom Hoagie at 33-1, Nikolai Højgaard at 45-1. That's it. I thought about Tom Kim. I think Tom Kim is being overlooked a little bit, but 12-1 I thought was a little short. Ludvig is going to get one soon. I don't think this course, he might still win here, but I think there are better spots where his driver will be more of a weapon. And I thought about those two, and I thought about Svensson, and I settled on two what I thought were really good numbers on Hoagie and Højgaard. The conversation around Matthew Nesmith starts with his history around this place. You know, there is nobody in this field with basically as many rounds who has been as good at TPC Summerlin as Matt Nesmith has. Four consecutive top 18s, including runner-up finish last year. Now, the game, which is usually predicated on solid ball striking, has not been as sharp recently. It's fine. We're seeing a lot more positives than this very slumpy stretch that he went through to start off 2023. The putter has been better in the very short term, but he limped to the finish line with a horrible flat stick. The timing does feel pretty decent when you look at the way that the ball striking is, the way that the putter might be trending, and his history around here. But I do think that as far as some of the more popular guys go this week, he is probably more volatile. I would not be surprised to see him miss the cut, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him contend. Hey, Rick, who would you give the rookie award to currently? What are we, one? Oh, for last year? I think it's Eric Cole, right? It has to be Eric Cole. He just had a lot of really great finishes. I know there was at least another rookie who I think won somewhere, but to me, it's Eric Cole. Thoughts on Matt Wallace? Well, very nice guy. I saw him in Rome. Now, he did play, I thought he played okay at the BMW PGA Championship the last time we saw him. Am I remembering that correctly? Yeah, he's been fine. Listen, again, you got to have the European stats. If you don't have the European stats, you've missed out on four starts from Matt Wallace with the strokes gained metric, seeing that he's been a very solid ball striker. I think this is an upward trend for Matt Wallace. Has he played well here? He has played pretty well here in each of the last 2 years. Lots of good vibes around Rome. Yeah, not bad. Does this course fit Bezuidenhout? So let's look at this together, right? What do we want at this golf course? Well, we want a guy who can keep it in play off the tee, keep it out of the desert. You want somebody who's going to give themselves a lot of opportunities, and you want someone who can make a lot of putts, ideally with a serviceable short game. So do we have that from Bezuidenhout? Off the tee, he is quite accurate, 52nd on tour in driving accuracy, and distance from edge of fairway, which is how big of a miss you have when you do miss, is also right there on the same number, 51st on tour, so probably much better than that in this field. You know, strokes gained approach, does he give himself enough birdie looks? Well, he doesn't make a lot of birdies, 152nd on tour, 148th in birdie or better percentage, less than 20% of the holes that he plays. That's a little bit concerning. He's a very good putter. Let's see if he has any history around this place. I'm not sure he does. Oh, he does one time last year, T20. I think that this is not a great spot for him. You know, he played well in Jackson, but that was a very good putting week in the midst of a stretch of golf that has not been good for him. I would say this skews on the less excited side of the scale. Thoughts on Davis Thompson, I'm assuming, unless there is someone in the field actually named David Thompson, which I cannot imagine. Yeah, so I was excited about Davis Thompson last week. I don't know if I think I wrote him up in my newsletter, rickrungood.com/newsletter, which, by the way, I'm loving and really writing every single week. I just kind of put nuggets and thoughts down and run stats and throw it in there, and I have time to really do some deep stuff. I love it, and the feedback I've gotten has been really good. So check it out. It's 100% free. Go sign up, and I deliver it straight to your inbox. So it's very, I've been getting excited about it. I love to see this driving again, right? This is, remember how young he is, right? And he was pretty highly touted when he was coming out of school. So we've got this really good driver in which he's, you know, finished no worse than 34th in his, or well, I guess he missed the cut, but outside of that, five top 30 finishes in his last six starts. Ball striking is there. I worry about him making enough putts, making enough birdies, but this kid's got a lot of firepower. I mean, he was the number one amateur in the world at one point, wasn't he? So I think there's still plenty of time to figure out what he is, and he's starting to figure it out. Why is Nicholas Lindheim among the outsiders for this tournament? I'm not sure what that means, the outsiders. I'm not sure what you mean by that. Lindheim's been playing good golf. He doesn't play a lot, though, right? Did he play in Napa? No, he played in Jackson. Okay. He doesn't play a lot. Remember, this is the guy, I think he was coming back from a back injury, got hot on the Corn Ferry Tour, played the Sanderson Farms. I'm not sure what that question means. Oliver says, welcome back, Rick. Do you and Vic have a no communication agreement in place for Ryder Cup week? No, I spoke with him a couple times. The thing is, if I usually don't bother guys, Victor and other guys included, like when I know they're playing, right? In weeks that they're playing, I usually don't bother them. I don't text them. Now, I have texted guys, and for the most part, everyone responds, and they don't care as much, it seems, but maybe I make a bigger deal out of it than it is. So I usually just leave guys alone. But I mean, we were in Rome. I was there plenty early. We chatted at the golf course, and yeah, no, I don't. But I stay out of the way. I do not like to bother them, and I try to get out of the way. Do you know what the yards or strokes gained around the green turns into strokes gained approach? 30, I think. 30 or 40. I'd have to go back and look, but it's remember when Bryson broke it in Detroit? I think it's 40 yards. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure. I'm loving Siwoo Kim on courses like this. Would you take him over Åberg if it came down to ownership? Man, I don't know. Ludwig is so, so good. I will say I saw a couple of holes from Siwoo this morning. His pro-am group was horribly slow, so I bounced. But I thought he was playing well. I thought he striped it. Again, it's only a couple holes on Wednesday. It doesn't really matter. He's using the broomstick. That's pretty good. But Ludwig is kind of a different animal. So it's if you're just saying, hey, you know, these two at one's at 28% and one's at 18%. Ludwig is very, very dangerous, and I'm not sure we've even seen his best stuff. How's the weather in Vegas? It's honestly been great this year. Obviously it was very hot this summer, but it was not nearly as hot as I think last year, right? It was pretty moderate all around, which was great. This week, I think today is like the hottest day. It's going to be 83, which is freaking perfect. And then the rest of the week is like 78, 79. I mean, it's just an absolute perfect week for golf this week. Kevin Streelman comes up next. I guess I should filter here. Boy, Streelman has been all over the yard, hasn't he? Here's his last handful of putting weeks. -3.5, +2, -3, +2.5, -2.8. That's a little bit concerning. He's always a pretty solid approach player in terms of, you know, just beating the field a little bit. It's not long. That's okay. He is accurate. That's good. Just, I don't think he makes enough birdies, man. I just really, like, where's he gonna separate himself? 100 yards and in? He doesn't putt well enough. I just don't really see how he gets there. He's got great results here, but admittedly, they're all from, like, he was awesome from 08 to 2015. He has not been nearly as good since. Oh, I should be sharing my screen. My bad. He's not been nearly as good in the last 10 trips or something like that. So I'm not very excited about Kevin Streelman. Two trending players, Sam Ryder, Davis Thompson. Any reason we're not hearing more about these two? I don't know. You know, I feel like I've spoken about Sam Ryder a lot. I like the way Sam Ryder has been playing. I think Sam Ryder, he's such an interesting case study because he does have the ability to finish high on a leaderboard in a stacked field. And he does have the ability to be a 4, 5, and 6 strokes gained approach golfer, which is elite level stuff. And he to gain a stroke or more on approach in 4 straight and 5 out of 6 is awesome. Now, he's got deficiencies because if he didn't, he'd be, you know, Victor Hovland, right? But the rest of it's got to come together. So I think that what you're going to get from Sam Ryder a lot this year is you're going to get a bunch of top 10 finishes, but you just never know when they're going to come because it's going to be, hey, did he keep it in play off the tee this week? Maybe. And did he putt well? So I think he's a very hard guy to predict, but I do love the upside. If you're willing to take a flyer, it is certainly a guy to be looking at. It took me a while to decipher this message, Dave. Rick, been a minute, been cheating on you and golf DFS. With football. Got it. And it took me a while to figure out the acronyms. Who are your top couple of plays in the 7 and 8K ranges? All right. So my bad. And I'm like, still like, we didn't get home that long ago. Jet lag has been beating me up. I'm a little bit under the weather. So my bad. All right. The 8K range, I think Vincent Norman is spectacular. You know, you look at the power rankings and just the raw strokes gained over the last 36 rounds. I think Vincent Norman is like fifth on this list, right? I mean, it's just so, so good what he's been able to do. He gives himself a ton of opportunities. Talk about guys who are figuring it out. He's won twice in his last six starts. Nobody wants to talk about it because it was an opposite field event and it was the Irish Open, right? But Vincent Norman is like, just let's go. Tom Hoagie, again, I've bet Tom Hoagie, and Hoagie is a legitimate winner on the PGA Tour who, when you get him in wedge fests, that's the best place to be, and he's finding it, right? So Wentworth, he gains 8 strokes on approach, then he finishes 13th at Sanderson Farms. Like, give me all of this Tom Hoagie. So those are probably the two in the 8K I like the most. The 7K range, not a lot of guys that instill a ton of confidence. I'm a Hayden Buckley truther, right? His history around here, still coming back from the injury. I think he's kind of 100% healthy at this point. He has my attention. I'm not necessarily willing to stick my neck out for a lot of these guys. I'm willing to go back to SH Kim, who missed the cut last week, but played much better on Friday, played well in Napa, played well here last year. I'm willing to stick my neck out and go back out for SH Kim. But other than that, a lot of flyers with, you know, your Justin Suhs, your Doug Gims, kind of some of your better players who obviously are very familiar with this golf course. Would you consider doing a parlay with John Rahm to win the Spanish Open with Tom Kim to repeat? No, seems like a good way to burn cash, but I mean, John Rahm's what? He's won that event 3 out of the last 4 years, something like that. There's a super chat here, which is never required, always appreciated. Is this a weighted strokes gain week? Yeah, that's actually not bad. So I like to use the weighted strokes gain when you have guys from a lot of different fields coming together, right? So I guess the idea being that you've got guys who've played a lot on the PGA Tour, Korn Ferry Tour, maybe some European Tour, kind of all coming together for the first time since the fall's really just started. So if you use the weighted strokes gain last 36 rounds, Tom Kim actually becomes the best player in this field. Ludwig gets a knock for some of the fields that he's been in. So Tom Kim, JT Poston, Adam Shank, Austin Eckroat, then Andrew Putnam, Eric Cole, Alex Smalley, Ludwig, and Nikolai. So that is, that's not a bad call. Thank you for the super chat. How accurate has Siwoo been off the tee, and how does he rank in distance from edge of fairway? Well, I saw him he piped one on number one today. That was probably one of the best places I've ever seen a guy be. He is elite, accurate, right? 7th in accuracy, 5th in distance from edge of fairway. I think Siwoo was pretty live this week, right? So this is a golf course where he can just squeeze it down there, not worry about distance. He is pretty good from 125 and in, and he's using that broomstick again, which hopefully it heats up. And we know he can make a lot of birdies. Ben Griffin or Sam Ryder? Probably Sam Ryder. And I would have said that, I think, before I saw Griffin's Sunday round, which was pretty bad. Ryer Norman, I'm definitely in on Norman. Hubbard, so there was a question about Hubbard earlier and I kind of just skipped over him a little bit, but what I will do is circle back. So this is a great stat profile from Hubbard, right? Two really strong weeks to start the fall in the ball striking categories. He's always a very, very good putter. He comes back to TPC Summerlin where it's kind of a mixed bag, mostly below average performances, but he's coming off his best finish, T28 last year. That's a pretty good stat profile. Any chance Lonto showed you enough last week? Boy, that's a name we haven't thought about in quite some time, is it? Lonto Griffin. No. This is terrifying. Guy who is very bad putter has probably the best putting week of his career by a mile, and also gave six strokes away around the green and only finished T28. Yikes. Also, look at that. The best 2 week putting weeks of his career are both at the Country Club of Jackson. So that being said, very unlikely he putts that well or anything close to it this week. Yeah, this is terrifying. No, I hope he plays well. I love Lonto. Great guy. I want to see him play well. No way. Not for me. Heading into the new year, your pick for one, most reliable point getting workhorse, two, most unreliable or chaotic pick, most volatile player to avoid. Yikes. I'd have to look at a list. But reliable of the top end guys, Victor, I think, was the only guy last year who did not ever lose fantasy points to the field. He was better than average in fantasy points every single time he teed it up. Now, he obviously doesn't play as much as the other guys. I think someone, like if Adam Schenck doesn't win and stop playing a lot of events, Adam Schenck is going to earn you a ton of fantasy points. Chaotic good. I think Sam Ryder's chaotic good. Chaotic bad. Akshay. We're a couple of years away, I think, from Akshay really elevating. But the allure of him, and he's going to get like an opposite field win at some point, and you're going to be like, wow, that was like, I think it's just going to be chaos. Harry Hall or EVR? Harry Hall. Did you have Benny on for using PEDs on your false swing bingo card? No. So gets dinged for a banned substance in over-the-counter cough medicine. And the thing is, this is so funny, right? It's a 3-month suspension during basically the off season, right? So he's not allowed to play from September 1st to December 1st, which he probably wasn't. I think he finished top 40 in the FedEx Cup standing. So he didn't really have to play in the fall. Maybe he would play to stay sharp, but he's not even worried about his standings. It's like, it's not a paid vacation because in a suspension in golf, it's like, you're not even being withheld a paycheck because if you're not playing, you're not getting a paycheck anyway. So it's like the lightest slap on a wrist I've ever seen in my entire life, which is fine. I don't think he intentionally did anything. Like, it's an over-the-counter cough syrup in Korea that, like, I don't even know how it would even remotely give him an advantage anyway. But I just think it's funny that it's basically a non-suspension. My outright winner of this pick is Poston. That's cool. What's yours? I've bet Hoagie and I've bet Højgaard. If you ask me to pick without odds, like just in a vacuum, like who I think is going to win, I really like the way Tom Kim is setting up. And I know it's like the defending champ thing, but he's playing great golf right now. Rank these four: Hadley, Laird, Ramey, Hall. Ramey, Hall, Hadley, Laird. I'm at the end of the questions, which is wild. The fall has really kind of been a mixed bag of interest, but obviously I love this event. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give this like 2 minutes for any question you want. Throw it in. I don't care what it's about. We'll do some quick hitters. In that meantime, I'll spark conversation like this. I have the splash contest is running again this week. So you can come in here and you pick one from each tier. And I think it's a really good way to kind of spark some discussion. So you can get this contest is link in the description. It's a 3-entry max. It's a $12 entry. It's a very top heavy payout. Come join the lottery ticket, join the fun, et cetera, et cetera. So here's tier one. So obviously, like, you have Ludwig, you have Tom Kim. They're going to be very, very popular. If you wanted to pivot to JT Poston, that's interesting. That's probably as maybe Siwoo. I could play Siwoo here, but like, I'm not interested in Cam Davis. I'm not interested in Eric Cole. Siwoo, I'll take, because I watched Grillo play a little bit this morning in tier two. I didn't think it was particularly great. Again, Wednesday, a couple holes mean nothing, but did not hit a very good second shot into 11, which I thought was a pretty big mistake. Hit a very lackluster chip on 11, and then he did make the putt, but it just like, it did not seem super sharp, in my opinion. So my favorite here is Schenck. I could go with Nikolai here, who is a little bit of a higher upside guy, but with only, you know, a handful of, you know, there's 43 entries right now. I'm going to roll with Svensson. Tier three. So for me, it's mostly Norman and a little bit of Hadwin most of the time. Rye, not interested. Rodgers, probably not. I could go Hostler. I'll go Hostler there just for diversification. So tier four, Nick Taylor, I think, is just legitimately the best player in this tier. Sam Ryder, I think, is most interesting. I'll go Nick Taylor. Hoagie's my pick to win. I'm going to roll with Hoagie out of five. Then I'd probably go Gim, Bazaidenhout, Lee, Streelman in that order. And then six, Luke, I'd go, I'm going to go SH Kim there. So there you go. Join. You can get your picks in. Have a little fun on that. My newsletter from this week has a lot of good stuff in it. RickRungood.com/newsletter. All right, here we go. Any Cam Champ love? No. I think this is a very bad golf course for him. Favorite part of the Ryder Cup experience? I got picked to play the golf course on Monday, which was absolutely freaking insane. Very difficult, very fun, amazing experience. During the actual event, so Ryder Cups are so different because there's only a handful of golf guys on the golf course at the same time, and they're only playing a couple of holes. So instead of 50,000 people spread out over the course of a day, a full day, and spread out over 18 holes, there's 50,000 people on like two holes. And what happens is when matches end, fans that were following that match start moving back to matches that are going on. So there was a moment, I think on, I want to say Saturday, where basically 16, which is that natural amphitheater, downhill short par four, that's where the only action was left. And I was right there on the side, right by the green, and just like everyone is around this hole. And it was just like, the Ryder Cup's the only thing you can get like this. How's your eliminator going? I am out in both NFL survivors, or actually I think I had three entries in NFL survivors. And I think I lost in week one in all of them with three different teams. So not well. Rank the Kims: Tom, Siwoo, Michael. No. Tom, Siwoo, SH, SY, Michael. That's five. Did I get all the Kims? Am I missing anyone? If I got all the Kims, I need credit for this. Let's see. Is SY not in the field? Maybe he's not. So I ranked too many SYs. Italian pizza or tri-state area pizza? I mean, just absolute different. Just different, right? I mean, I love folding a slice of, you know, New York style pizza, but Italian pizzas, like the tomatoes are from like down the street, right? Like it's just like, it's so different. So I can't even compare the two, but I loved all the pizza that I ate last week. I'm having a hard time. Am I just like, what's the deal for fantasy? Got you and 324. I don't know what that means. Poster to Rogers. Good luck. Have you ever been to Savannah, Georgia? And what is your favorite coffee order? I've never been to Savannah, Georgia. I do two different things. I drink black coffee a lot. If I'm going to get something fancy, it is, a vanilla latte with oat milk. That would be the fancy one. Living locally, who are the Vegas guys in this field? All right. Off the top of my head, and then I'll look at the list. So off the top of my head, it's Harry Hall, Doug Gim, Justin Suh. Isaiah Salinda got in on a Monday qualify. Then you have Montgomery. That's off the top of my head. Now let me look at the list. Boy, this is harder than I thought to look at and figure and think about all these guys. Cause Sheamus is not in the field. There's gotta be at least one more I'm not thinking about. There's gotta be a couple more I'm not thinking about, I'm sure. Higo. So like Higo went to UNLV. Does that count? Higo went to UNLV. This is harder than I thought. That might be it. I'm sure it's not. I'm sure there's a ton more, and I'm just scrolling over their names right now, panicking. I don't know. I probably missed a lot. Sorry. How is the course set up different than normal? Honestly, not that much. There's only so much you could do, right? And this is a short course. So it's not like, they're just going to play the back tee boxes. And then it's in phenomenal shape. The thing that I always notice, which is a little bit jarring, is the pins, right? I mean, when you play there in member play or whatever, I mean, they mostly just stick the pins right in the middle of the greens. That's how most of these places work. And the pins that you get here are just diabolical. But no, I mean, this is a, it's a TPC. It's well-maintained. It plays very similar. The greens will be faster, but it plays very similar every single day. There's not much they can do to it. I mean, listen, I exclusively ate pizza and pasta. So there was some really amazing eggplant lasagna. My wife had some, like, anything with truffle. We were in like the truffle region. When we went to Venice, we got tiramisu because I think that's where tiramisu was invented. Like, it's just like, you're trying to do stuff like that. There was also a place we went to that does, I'm going to butcher this, but it's like Alforgata Espresso or something like that. Armina had to order it. Where it is gelato, it's a cup of gelato, and then they carve out the middle and put espresso in it. It's like freaking unbelievable. 500 left on the table. Is there a better option to upgrade, Kraft or Buckley? Ooh, you have one of those guys. You want to upgrade them? You could go from Buckley to Ryder, but I don't mind that. I'm a putter designer from Somerville. Let's design a putter. Let's get something going on. Thoughts on who goes to the World Series? I thought the Phillies had the Braves number, but that late comeback might have shifted things. I will say it'll be the Phillies and the Astros. Dylan Wu showing up everywhere for me. Yeah, I get it, right? Dylan Wu is perpetually kind of underappreciated, and he missed the cut last week. But I'm a big Dylan Wu fan. Got in as first alternate. He's been putting great, which you're going to absolutely need to be able to do here. We just need to clean up the tee to green play, which, you know, it's at times has been good. He's got to get it figured out. But I generally love the way he plays. Curious what putter you have in the bag. So I have a lot of putters in my locker, but I have one in the bag. So I have historically played the Scotty 1.5 fastback. I'm a mallet guy. So that was kind of my gamer for a while. Then I have, I love the way that the Odyssey 7S lays and lines up. I have an alignment issue. So the way that lays is great. I also have the Mizuno, the one that looks like a video game controller with the wings. I don't know what the number, they have a bad naming structure, which I love the feel of, but I have trouble lining it up. And then I recently got the Jailbird, which is freaking unbelievable. Like, I love the Jailbird. I've never rolled the ball end over end so nicely, so consistently every single time. I love the weight of it. It's weird at first to try to get used to. The head is so big, even if it's just like, it's so easy to putt with. That's what I'm playing right now. Which holes are the most common to end up in the desert, and how bad could it get? Dude, if you're in the rocks, you're just totally screwed. Your ball could be in a snake hole. You could be right up against a rock. If it's in the desert, you're totally screwed. The holes that probably it comes into play the most, three, where that's where Sungjae hit it down. That's a par five that they play as a par four. If you hit it left off the tee, you can get down there. That's where Sungjae almost holed out from in the desert, that clip they show. So that's definitely in play. Six, it's in play. I've seen guys on the left-hand side and the right-hand side. Six is the hardest hole in the golf course statistically year over year, because you can find deserts on both sides of that. Then on the back, you'd have to spray it pretty far on 11 to find the desert. That's probably not in play. 12, no. 13, no. 14, no. 15, yes. 15, if you try to drive 15 and go left, you can get in that desert. Victor's been over there before. Guys get over there all the time. If you yank it a little bit left there. And then 16, no. 17, no. 18, no. So, oh, no, I guess 18 up the left-hand side is where Patrick Cantlay hit into the playoff. And cost himself this. So mostly more on the front, but there's a couple of spots. All right, I think that'll do it. I'm obviously not feeling 100% right now, so I'm going to go eat lunch. I think we're going to call it a day here. I appreciate everybody's support. I will obviously see you out there this week if you're going to be there. If not, you'll be there in spirit. Looking forward to seeing everybody. Best of luck this week. I'll talk to you guys soon.